Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have given to us. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you for the leading of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your light that is shining in our hearts and minds and souls to give us wisdom, to give us knowledge and your understanding. Thank you for your light that is exposing the works of darkness and establishing your righteousness in our lives. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for making all things work together for our good. Thank you for the anointing within us that teaches us righteousness. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that teaches us your ways and your principles and your standards. Thank you, Father. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for these Bible study classes we have been having. Thank you, Father, because you have been using these teachings to revive us, to cleanse us, and to transform us into a better Christian. Thank you, faithful Lord. I am asking, O God, that as we would be having this session again right now, minister unto every heart. Let your word be real and be powerful in every heart that is listening and will listen. Let your word heal, deliver, and transform their lives. Thank you, Father, because I know you shall do beyond our expectations. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. You're welcome into the Lord's presence, because he's here to open your eyes and to teach you. We're going to continue from where we stopped. You know, we have been dealing with building up a strong relationship with God. And we have discussed a lot of things. So I will just continue from where we stopped during the last class. We stopped at the point where I said, fearing God is healthy. Yeah, which is point number four. And the point number four was, we are to fear and reverence God. Yeah, that is how we build a strong relationship with him. We have to fear and reverence him. So under that point number four, I'm moving to C, which is the benefits of fearing God. The benefits of fearing God. When we fear God, what do we stand to gain? In Psalm 111, verse 10. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I think I've said it before that when you fear God, He would want to show you more of Himself. He will want to show you more of His ways, because He knows you will follow them. Wisdom has a lot to do with doing the right thing. Yeah, doing the right thing the right way. Doing the right thing at the right time. Yeah, that is wisdom. So a man can be very knowledgeable. A man can be full of great knowledge or excess knowledge and still be foolish. That's the difference between knowledge and wisdom. A man can know many things. A man can be an expert in many things. He can have high intelligence and professionalism in many things. Yeah, but that man can still be foolish. Yeah, we did 4B. Yeah. 4B was fearing God is healthy. Yeah, I can remember we did 4B. So we're in 4C now. 4B is fearing God is healthy. And the Bible verse is Psalm 19 verse 9, which says the fear of the Lord is clean. Yeah, so you can write that down. Now we are in 4C, and I said that it's possible for a man to be full of knowledge, talents, skills, expertise, professionalism, and still be foolish. Yeah. A man can know many things. In fact, a man can know all the books in the Bible. A man can have it stored in his memory, in his head, and even be able to recite them from Genesis to Revelation. And yet that man is still foolish. So wisdom has a lot to do with obedience. Wisdom has a lot to do with doing the right thing, believing the right thing, doing the right thing the right way, doing the right thing at the right time, doing what is the will of the Lord per time. Yeah. So we don't want to know how you're able to know the right thing to do, but as long as you are doing the right thing that is meant to be done at that time, you are wise. So we don't know how you're able to do that. But as long as God looks at you and what you are doing is the right thing to be done at that time, then that is wisdom. When you say the right thing that should be said, that is wisdom. So wisdom has a lot to do with yielding to the will of God, yielding to the mind of God, obeying God's commandments, obeying God's instructions, allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through you, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide your actions and thoughts and words. So that is when you are wise. So the point I'm looking at is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Yeah, that's the point I'm looking at as a benefit of fearing God. Yeah, when you fear God, you become wise. And I say that God is eager to show himself to people who fear him. God is eager to show himself to people who fear him. Reason is because he knows they will obey him. He knows they will obey him. God is eager I want to text a message to someone. I guess he's not going. Yeah, so I said, I realized someone is trying to join, but it's like the person doesn't know how to join. If any one of you know that person, you can contact him. I don't know if it's him or her privately. I've realized that several times the same person has been trying to join, maybe for some weeks now, and couldn't join the platform. Yeah, so my point is that God is eager to draw close to those that fear him. There's another place in the Bible that says that the fear of the Lord, it says the secrets of the Lord belongs to those that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. The secrets of the Lord belong to those that fear him. So when you fear God, he will come closer to you because he knows you are humble, and he knows that you are willing to obey. To fear God means that you are willing to obey him. And it also means that you are humble. So that is why he will come closer to you, to reveal more of himself and his ways to you. And when he begins to do that, you will be wise. That is the benefit. You will be wise. I believe all that I have known in God or about God today is because of fear of the Lord. Because I fear him. The secrets he has revealed to me about himself and about his kingdom is because he saw that I fear him. Yeah. So we must fear him if we want to be wise. And I also said that to be wise is to do the right thing at the right time, to do the right thing the right way. Meaning that if you fear the Lord, he will guide you into doing what is right. Sometimes you might not even know how you find yourself doing what is right. You will just do what is right. I have seen that happen to me a lot. I would just see myself doing what is right. But I don't know how I came to that point of, you know, doing what is right. I believe it's because I fear the Lord. And it's because he gave me his wisdom, because I fear him. So he puts on my life the spirit of wisdom. So the spirit of wisdom was able to guide me to praying the way I should pray, to talking the way I should talk, and to associating with people that I should associate with. So this is what the fear of the Lord will do for you. Yeah, the verse that I quoted is Psalm 25 verse 14. For those of you that are jotting down Psalm 25 verse 14, which says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. So when you fear him, you will enjoy him a lot, because he will come closer to you. So it's just like it's just like maybe an organization that is training people and preparing them for maybe for a competition. An organization that is training people, preparing them for competition or a global event where they will choose a winner. So when God see the fear of God in the life of a man, he see that man as a potential winner or as a potential instrument that he can use. You see that man as a potential star. I don't know if you get my point. So when he looks at you and he see that you fear him, you honor him, he will come closer to you, reveal himself to you, and begin to train you, and begin to prepare you for something greater than you can imagine, something greater than whatever ambition you might have before you met him. Yeah, it will change your life forever, because you have something that many don't have, and that is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And you are not likely to die young. And let's continue. There are other blessings or benefits of fearing God. Now, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Yeah, not only is it the beginning of the beginning of wisdom, it is also the beginning of knowledge. And I said that when you fear him, he will come closer to you, and he will begin to teach you and reveal so much about himself to you. So the fear of God leads to deep knowledge of God. Yeah, and this is in contrast to people who have gone to Bible schools, Bible college. Yeah, people have gone to Bible schools, Bible college, but they don't have the fear of God. So that means those people cannot know God. Yeah, it's good to listen to teachings by renowned men of God, renowned women of God, renowned apostles, prophets, teachers of the word. It's good to listen to teachings from those people. But if there is no fear of the Lord in your heart, you still will not know God. That's the truth. Yeah, we have people who have a BSc in theology, a PhD in theology. They have studied all the Bible from beginning to the end. They have studied all the historical backgrounds, cultural backgrounds. They have studied the meaning of the languages or the language structure by which the Bible was written. They have studied the background stories that gave birth to each passages in the Bible. They know the Bible so deep, but they don't know God. They know the Bible, but they don't know God. Why? Because they have not the fear of God. Yeah, so we must be careful enough to fear God. Yeah, it takes God to know God. It takes God to know God. It takes God to help you to know Him. If you ask me now, how can I start hearing God? How can I start communicating with angels? How can I start seeing in the spirit and get caught up into heaven and have a deep relationship with God? I don't have any formula to give you than all these things I've been teaching for some years now. You know, that to fear God, to live a holy life, to have hunger and thirst in your heart for God, to pray, to study the Bible, to do fasting, and all of that. There's no special formula, and the reason why there's no special formula is because it is God that will help you to know Him. So if God does not want you to know Him, you can't know Him. No matter how much you fast, no matter how much you pray, no matter how much college you go, Bible college, and no matter what you do, you still will not know Him. So it takes God to know God. So while you are doing all those spiritual exercises, fasting, prayer, Bible study, meditation, worship, yeah, all those spiritual exercises that helps us get closer to God, including evangelism, intercessions. While you are doing those exercises, you must know that except God help you to know Him, you can't know Him. Yeah. A songwriter sang a song, but is in my dialect. Is in Yoruba language, but I will just interpret it in English. The songwriter says that those who search for you, O God, could not see you, and those who you revealed yourself to could not identify you, could not recognize you. Yeah, so that song is like a proverb. It said those that are seeking for God day and night, they could not find Him. And those whom God Himself came to show Himself to, they could not recognize Him. Yeah, God came to them so close, but yet they could not even discern. They could not recognize Him. So, this is to prove to you that it takes the mercy of God to know God. It's not just by Bible study class. It's not enough to know God. It takes God to help you before you can know Him. Yeah, which means that God is looking for something more in your life, which I have mentioned one of it, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. So you can do all manner of research. You can memorize all scriptures in your head. But if you don't fear the Lord, you will not know Him. Yeah. The Pharisees and Sadducees in the Bible, they know the Bible, or they knew the Bible, they knew the scriptures, but they didn't know God. And Apostle Paul said, he said, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So they knew the logos, all the scriptures, they knew. They were so vast in the knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures, but they did not know God. And God came in human form. He was looking at them face to face like this. They still could not discern. They could not recognize him. Why? Because their heart is against God. So when your heart is not for God, you can listen to all manner of teachings in the world. I mean, powerful, anointed teachings. If your heart is not after God, your heart is not humble, there's no fear of God in your heart, you will not know God. Yeah, you will not know him experientially. You will not reveal himself to you. So that is how the fear of God leads to knowledge. I believe you get my point now. Our heart is so important if we are going to have correct knowledge of God, experiential knowledge of God. Now, in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26 to 27, it says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence." I'm not quoting those verses in detail because of time. So, but I expect that you write these things down and you go over these scriptural verses on your own. Yeah. So in that verse, Proverbs 14, verse 26 to 27, you will see where it says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. To depart from the snares of death. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. When you fear God, you will have strong confidence. Yeah. You will have strong confidence. You will have strong confidence. So what does it mean to have strong confidence? It means that you are so sure about certain things that will happen in your life. You're so sure that the promises of the Lord will happen in your life. Yeah, Abraham was so sure. Even Lot was so sure that he will not die with the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. So the fear of the Lord gives you strong confidence that even if people are dying of one virus or demonic attacks, somewhere in your heart, you'll be so confident that you will not die. Yeah, even when people are suffering from hunger, starvation, somewhere in your heart you'll be so sure that you will not starve, that you will have food to eat, because you have the fear of the Lord in your heart. So the fear of the Lord gives us strong confidence to lay hold of the promises of God, even to wait on God. When you have the fear of the Lord, if you are sick, you'll be sure that the sickness is not unto death. You'll be sure that the sickness will go away. Why? Because the Spirit of God will give you such a strong confidence. Now, so the only thing that destroys this confidence in Christians is sin. You know, Bible also say that the fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. I think that's the next verse we're going to look at. So when you run away from sin, there is this confidence you have that the Lord is with you, that the Lord will help you, that the Lord will bless you. You will just have that confidence. I don't know how to describe it. You will just be so confident in the Lord that you will be blessed, that you will be healed, that you will be delivered, that you will make it to heaven, that you will not die untimely. You'll be so confident because you have the fear of the Lord. So what usually destroy this confidence is sin and disobedience. So people who, because of the fear of God in their lives, depart from sin and unrighteousness, they are usually people of great confidence. They don't fear witches and wizards. They don't fear any force of darkness. Why? Because they are so sure that the Lord is with them and the Lord is on their side. So if you want to discover this confidence, have the fear of God and obey God fully, not partial obedience. Many Christians know when they are obeying God fully and when they are not, except we want to deceive ourselves. You know what God requires of you, and you know when you have done it and when you have not. So if you live a life of obedience, complete obedience, you will discover this strong confidence the Bible talks about. You will discover it. It's not a fiction. It's not fake. It's real. It's real. You discover this strong confidence. And when many people are complaining, murmuring, when many people are so fearful of many things in the world, you will not be afraid. You will be so confident in the Lord. May the Lord help you to discover or to come to this place of strong confidence in the Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. It says the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Proverbs 14, verse 26 to 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. The same thing. The fear of the Lord, in the same way, will also connect you with eternal life. Eternal life is a fountain of life. Eternal life is a fountain of life. It's a life that gives life. It's a life that gives life. Jesus was speaking to the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, I think in John chapter 4. He said, Jesus was speaking to that woman. He said, I will give you The water that I give you will make you to never thirst, to never be thirsty again. Yeah, and the woman was so excited. She wants that water. And then Jesus began to ask him private and personal questions. Yeah, he said, go and call your husband. The woman said, I don't have husband. He said, yes, you don't have husband because you you have had five husbands, and the one you are living with now is not your husband. Maybe we should read it, but I'm looking at the time. So Jesus began to question her to show her how to receive that water that will never make someone thirst again. Yeah. So Jesus began to, in John chapter 4, verse 18, it says, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. Yeah. So Jesus began to expose our sins and our immoral lifestyle. Yeah, to show her that with sin in your life, you cannot have this eternal life. Yeah, so the fear of the Lord will connect you to eternal life. It will make you to have a pure heart before God. And that is where eternal life is, in the purity of heart, holiness, both inside you and on the outside. So that is where eternal life is. So the fear of the Lord connects you to eternal life. And when you have that life, you live forever. And you become a channel of blessing to many people. You know, Jesus was that life himself. He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. So Jesus was eternal life himself. And he said something. At a point, he was talking to the disciples and apostles. He said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirits and they are life. So it means that when you carry life of God in you to a point, the words you speak will give life to people. So meaning that everything about you begin to give life. So eternal life is a life that gives life, is a fountain of life. Even when you speak in tongues, the Bible says, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living waters. When you speak in tongues, life is springing out of you. And your life is being changed. And lives of people also are being changed, because when we speak in tongues, we also do intercessions. In the process, unknown to you, when you are praying in tongues, you pray, you also pray for many people that you don't know. Yeah, for those who have the gift of speaking in tongues. So my point is that eternal life will come to stay inside of you if you have the fear of the Lord indeed. Yeah. I don't know why I'm staying so long on this point. You know, there was a time I did a teaching about Christians being possessed by demons. And I was trying to answer some questions that so many people have been asking for many years. Questions like, can a Christian be possessed by demons? Can a Christian who has the Holy Ghost in him also have demons in him or her at the same time? Yeah, and I remember God helped me. I was able to answer that question in so many ways. Yeah, and one of the answers is that I said that the way the Holy Ghost fills Christians is more than somebody staying inside of you. Yeah, I remember I said something like that, that the Holy Spirit fills Christians not like you pour water in a cup. That's not how the Holy Ghost fills Christians. It's not by like you pour water inside a cup and then you say this water is inside this cup. So Holy Ghost is inside this cup. So because Holy Ghost is inside this cup, no other water can enter. That is not how the Holy Spirit fills Christians. Because the Holy Spirit is too big for you to even contain him. He's too great for you to contain him inside of you. So this is how the Holy Ghost fills Christians. The Holy Ghost brings you into himself. Yeah, you know what, when you dip a cup inside a bucket full of water, you dip that cup inside. You know, the cup will also have water inside. And the cup will be covered with water. The cup will be fully immersed in water. Yeah, so that is how the Spirit fills us. Yeah, the Spirit fills us by bringing us into himself. In John chapter 15, Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you." So the first thing is we abide in him. So when we abide in him, then he will abide in us. You come into him, and then he automatically is in you. So that is how the Holy Spirit fills Christians. Not like you pour water inside a cup, but like you dip a cup into a great river of water. You just dip that cup inside. You know, when the cup enters into the depth of that water, the cup at the same time is filled with the water, and then the water is covering the cup. That's exactly how the Holy Spirit fills us. So which means that you can remove yourself from the water anytime. You can pull yourself out anytime. And whenever you pull yourself out, anything can possess you. Demons can possess you because you did not stay in him. You did not abide in him. So if you come out of him, that moment you are out of him, any form of darkness can happen to you, whether it's demonic possession, whether it's demonic oppression, whether it's obsession, whether it's control of demons, anything can happen to you. And I gave an example then of Peter. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he could answer the question Jesus told them, or Jesus asked them. Jesus said, "Who do you people say I am?" And Peter with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, or by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. And Jesus said, wow, only God could have shown you this. And not long after that, the same Peter that was filled with the Holy Spirit to give that kind of a confession and declaration, not long after that, Satan possessed his mind. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Yeah, so to tell you that, if you don't stay in him, you can be used by the devil. You can be controlled by the devil. You can be possessed by the devil. Yeah, I tell you the truth of God's kingdom. The Bible says that to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So even in your mind, you can be possessed and controlled by demons. Yeah, and you would have done what they want you to do before you realize that is the enemy controlling you. Yeah, so what I'm saying is that I'm trying to connect purity of life, purity of heart with fountain of life, with eternal life. So if your life is pure, eternal life will come to stay in you. And that is when the power of God and the glory of God will so mightily manifest through you. That is when you pray for the dead and the dead will rise back to life. Because you are so full of eternal life, such that what you touch can come back to life. Yeah. So the foundation or the beginning of this eternal life is the fear of the Lord, His holiness, purity. I know there are other things involved. Several sacrifices are involved. Fasting and prayers and all of that, training. Yeah, there are a lot of things involved, but the foundation is this fear of the Lord. If you don't have the fear of the Lord, you cannot have eternal life, because you will not be able to stay in that life. You will leave that life at one point or the other. Yeah, so the next Bible verse is Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. It says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So, which means to fear the Lord is to depart from evil. To fear the Lord is to depart from evil. People who fear the Lord, they don't join multitudes to do evil. They run away from evil. Proverbs 16, verse 6. Yeah. So if you have been struggling with a particular sin, and every time you try to come out of that sin, you don't see yourself coming out, you fall back, then maybe it's because you don't have the fear of the Lord. Or you need to pray and ask for the fear of the Lord. Yeah, because before any person will sin, you will know first that this thing I want to do is a sin. In James chapter, I think James chapter 4, verse 7, it was describing sin. He said, when you know what is good, And you did not do what is good. Okay. It's not James chapter 4, verse 7. I will look for it. Yeah. Yeah, it's James chapter 4, verse 17. Yeah, James chapter 4, verse 17. It says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not, to him it is sin. To him it is sin. So nobody will sin without first knowing. There are all kinds of sin. The sin that is called sins of ignorance. Yeah, you don't know that it is wrong, and then you did it. Yeah, but the other kinds of sin, or majority of sins, they are sins, you know, they are what people know before they do it. And if you have the fear of the Lord at the point of your temptation, you begin to resist sin. The Bible told us about Joseph. His master's wife was seducing him. His master's wife was seducing him to sleep with her. But Joseph said, How can I do such a thing and sin against God? He did not say, how can I do such a thing and sin against my master? He said, how can I do such a thing and sin against God? So he feared God. Even in the point of temptation, he did not yield to the sin. He ran away from the sin. So the fear of God will make you to run away from the sin, to run away from sins. So therefore, if you are always falling into sin, then you should check if you have fear of God or not. And you should begin to cry to God to give you that fear of God. Yeah, because why would you know that something is wrong and then you still go ahead and do it? Why would you know that something will offend God, and then you still went ahead and do what will offend God? It means you don't have the fear of God. Yeah. Why would you know that you're supposed to carry out a specific task? You're supposed to do a specific assignment for the Lord, and you have not done it up to now. First month went, you did not do it. Second month, third month. And this is 11th month of this year, and you did not do what God is requiring of you, and you are happy. It means you don't have the fear of the Lord. Yeah. So to depart from sin is to have the fear of God. That's the truth. You don't have the fear of God, you can never stop sinning. Yeah. So we are going to look at the blessings. It's still a continuation of benefits of fearing God. So but now we are looking at blessings that follows fearing God. Psalm 25 verse 12. It says, he that feareth the Lord shall he teach in the way. Remember, I'm not quoting all of the verse, I'm just mentioning few points, so you should go over these verses on your own. Psalm 25 verse 12. When you fear God, he will teach you. And then Psalm 31 verse 19. How great is thy goodness for them that fear thee. When you fear God, God will be good toward you. He will do you good. He will bless you. He will favor you. He will bring favor into your house. He will connect you with great people. Yeah, people that will lift up your life. Yeah, just as how he lifted up David from nobody to somebody great. Why? Because David feared the Lord. Yeah. So there is no limit to what God can do when you fear him. No limit to what he can do for you. No limit. In fact, he will make you a leader of a large flock. He will bless you with people. I will make you lead them. Because he knows that only you can lead them. Lead them in the way of righteousness. Because you fear him. Yeah, there are so many things he will do for you. So many things. Also, in Psalm 103 verse 13, the Lord pitieth them that fear him, or the Lord have compassion on them that fear him. When you fear God, he will pity you. He will pity you. I know what it means when God pities a man. I have seen him do that to me several times. Yeah, because he could find his fear in me. He pitied my situations. You know, I have found myself in situations that are very bad. And then he looked at me, then he pitied me and he helped me. Yeah, so that is what the fear of God does. It will make you to harn God's compassion. Yeah, not because you prayed and fasted. He will just look at you and he will just have compassion on you. Because he knows that you fear him. Yeah. And then Psalm 147, verse 11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him. So when you fear God, the Lord will have pleasure in you. He will like you. He will love you so much. Because you fear him, he will love you so much. And when God loves a man, I think I've said it before, and when God loves a man, he can wait. Waste. He can kill a whole nation to preserve the life of that one man that he loves. Yeah, that's what it means when God loves a man. There's nothing he can't do for that man. Yeah, and then Luke chapter 1 verse 50. Luke chapter 1 verse 50. His mercy is on them that fear him. When you fear God, his mercy shall be on your life. He shall show you mercy, and even he shall make people to show you mercy because you fear him. Yeah. So I really like all these benefits. I don't know if you like them. Then fear him. Yeah, so that you can enjoy these benefits. Yeah, and then in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, verse 35. He that feareth him, Acts chapter 10, verse 35, he that feareth him is accepted with him. He that feareth him is accepted with him. I'm reading that verse. It says, But in every nation, he that feareth him and walketh righteousness is accepted with him. Yeah, so meaning that God identifies with those that fear him. If a governor of a state fears God, God will identify with that governor. If a president of a country fears God, God will identify with that president. If anyone, whether it's a youth, a child, an adult, a parent, an elder, if such person fears God, God will identify with that person. Yeah, and he will even testify of that person. Meaning that he will speak to people. He will even speak to his prophets about that person. He will send messages to that person. He will reveal himself to that person. Yeah, because such a man is godly in the sight of God. So let us fear God. Now, you might be asking, how do I fear God? It's simple. Yeah, I think I have described it during the last teaching. You might have to go and listen to the last teaching. I described what fear of God means. Yeah. So to fear God is to honor him. Is to honor him. Is to obey him. Is to love him. Is to please him. Yeah. Is to always, let me give you an example as we round off the teaching. I remember when I was still in the secondary school, or some of you can call it high school, and there's a particular teacher that would have entered the class at certain time. So if you don't meet up with that time, you'll be punished. Yeah, so anywhere the students are, they are checking the time. Oh, this lecture starts this time, and we must reach there before the teacher. Failure to reach there before the teacher, we attract punishment. So everyone is rushing. I must just get there. The teacher must not be there before me. So then that is fear of the teacher. Yeah. So now consider the teacher to be God now. You know, God has set some standard. Let these thoughts never be found in your mind. Let this lifestyle never be found in your life. This is my will for you. Do it. Honor me with your substance. Give your offerings. Give your tithe. Preach the gospel. So all these things, you know it in the Bible. And God has set this standard. So are you like that student that is rushing? Oh, I must meet up with this standard. God help me, I have to meet up with this standard. That is the fear of God. God set a standard. And you just want to meet up. You don't want to fall below. You want to be on that standard. That is the fear of God. That's a typical example. Because you know that it is wrong to fall below that standard. And you know it will attract punishment. Though God, you know, don't have to kill you. But he would definitely chastise you, and you don't want that. You want, you know, just like students, they want to earn the favor of the teacher. you know, they answer questions in the class. In the class, they contribute. They do assignments quickly, submit. They do tests and pass. Yeah, because they just want to hand, you know, to please the teacher and to make the teacher feel good, and also to hand a good score from the teacher. The same with God. So God allow you to go through trials, temptations, just like a teacher is setting exams, setting tests. That is the trials and temptations you go through. And God is watching how you answer that exam. How will you respond to that trial and temptation and persecution? How will you respond when you are being seduced to sin? God is watching. So when you fear him to the point that you pass those tests and exams, then you will begin to have special interest in you. Just like a teacher in the school have special interest in some of the students. I don't know if you're getting the the scenario. Yeah, because I feel like some of you still don't understand what fear of God means. So that is just, you know, that is just a typical example between teacher and the student. Yeah. So that is how you fear God. Know what he wants and what he doesn't want, and do what he wants. That's all. Then you have feared him. I know there is more to this, but the Spirit of God is with you. He will enlighten you more. In Jesus' name. If you have questions, you can ask on the group, or you ask me personally. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you are so faithful. Thank you for showing us in your word how much we stand to gain if we fear you wholeheartedly and obey your word. Lord, I am asking that you forgive as many that have listened to this teaching and will listen, that have not been fearing you. Lord, have mercy and forgive in Jesus' name. And as every one of us will be working hard to ensure that we please you from now henceforth, Father, make it easy for us to please you. Make it easy for us to fear you and to honor you with our lives. Let your Holy Spirit help us so much to do this. Thank you, Father, because I know you have answered this prayer. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. The Lord bless you. Amen.